Hello, and welcome to the Colcast. If you've made it this far, thank you very much for showing me some faith, clicking on the link on my Facebook page or for the website, and get ready for 20 to 30 minutes of MMA talk. Basically, I've been told by a lot of people to make this podcast because I just never shut up about MMA and fighting in general, boxing, kickboxing, anything that I come across that even remotely resembles fighting. I've got some sort of comment or breakdown or theory or analysis to provide. So very much looking forward to making this a regular thing. For a lot of you that have followed me before in the past, you will know that I used to put blogs up on my website, up at Cole's Conclusions. That will hopefully pick up in the future as well. Got a bit more spare time these days, so I'll be picking that back up because it's what I love to do. But these 20 to 30 minute podcasts just makes it quick and easy for me to go through what's going on in the MMA world, basically, and any other major events from any other of the martial arts as well. So let's jump straight into it. I'm your host, Chris Collins. It is Thursday, the 18th of October, 20 past 2, live from my studio / house in North Wales. So the way the show will work, podcast rather, is I'll just jump straight into it, go through the news events during the week, then we'll just jump into the events that have gone on recently, and we'll break down anything that's coming up in the future as well. Nothing to break down today because we haven't got anything for a couple of weeks. Next UFC event's not until the 27th of October. That's a good couple of weekends away. That's Volkan Ozdemir against Lionheart Smith. That should be an interesting fight. I will break that down on my podcast next week, and the rest of the main card as well. So straight into the news from this week. Big news story. Floyd Mayweather offering out Khabib Nurmagomedov for a boxing match. We've seen this before, haven't we? With Conor McGregor. I have absolutely no interest in seeing it. Khabib, I think, was a bit tongue-in-cheek when he put the video out for Floyd, you know, saying 27-0. Versus 50-0, it can be only one dominant person in combat sports. I'm just not into it at all. Khabib would get absolutely mauled in boxing. Vice versa with Floyd coming over to MMA. God, I wouldn't even. In fact, yeah, I would want to see that. I think everyone would want to see that. Actually, I think that's the only way that anyone would ever want to see this fight is if Floyd Mayweather comes over to MMA, because nobody wants to see Khabib Nurmagomedov go over to boxing and face Floyd. It's just another shit show, to be honest. No interest in it at all. And we saw what happened as well. All the questions that everyone had leading up to last August's fight, August 2017, between Conor and Floyd. You know, there was a few things that we were all curious about. Conor's range was different. His movements, obviously, very good. His footwork's outstanding. And he's a knockout artist. If he lands that left hand, or we thought if he landed that left hand on Floyd flush, you know, it'd be all she wrote. All the questions were answered during the fight. It just doesn't translate over to boxing. And Khabib's a worse striker than Conor is, even though he nearly flatlined Conor in this fight. Although some say that is a slip. Can see that as well. That's a conversation for another day. As a breakdown, I really don't want to going to any further. I think everyone's bored to tears with Conor and Khabib at the moment, and all the talk. That's what all the news in the MMA world surrounded at the moment. So, Floyd Khabib, no thanks. Moving on. Next story that's come up this week, this is quite a funny one. The mysterious man with the blazer who ran into the cage after the UFC 229 main event between Conor McGregor and Khabib Nurmagomedov for the lightweight title. This just, I don't know if this is more funny or it just shows how there are glaring holes in security at these UFC events. Because there was a guy with a blazer, casual fan, sat down near DC, Daniel Cormier, actually asked Daniel Cormier during the fight, I believe, you know, who have you got? So didn't know anything about what was going on at all. Obviously was clueless to who DC is, because DC's obviously a Khabib fanboy, trains with him, he's going to support his teammate. So the fight happened. Obviously Khabib choked out Conor, or got the old neck crank on in the fourth round, submitted Connor. Connor tapped. All the commotion after the fight, obviously Khabib running over the cage and jumping into the crowd at Dylan Danis, and everything that was going on with all of Khabib's teammates running in trying to punch Connor, and the melee that ensued. The guy with the blazer, the mysterious man with the blazer, while everything was going on, while all the commotion was happening, decided to also scale the cage and get in to check if Connor was okay. God knows what's happened there. There's footage of it online. I believe I saw this video when I was on Bleacher Report earlier this week. Quite a funny video. Just like I say, I don't know if it's more funny or just really worrying that a random guy can just climb into the cage with the biggest MMA superstar on the planet. But there you go. Had a check if Connor was all right. Apparently went back over the cage, then sat down in his seat and just got on with things. So fair play to you, sir. Thank you for being so caring and considerate of Conor McGregor and his welfare. Michael Chiesa is hit the news this week. Obviously, Chiesa's got an ongoing legal battle with Conor McGregor. Yeah, I know. Everything's heavily centred about Conor McGregor and Khabib. But that's what all the news is at the moment, so I digress anyway. Chiesa, obviously an ongoing legal battle with Conor after the dolly incident, smashing the bus window with a dolly in April, before the proposed Nurmagomedov-Ferguson fight that actually turned out to be Nurmagomedov and Ally Quinter. And Chiesa's come out in the news this week saying he's not happy about the fact that Conor fans and, you know, there's a lot of casual fans out there now following Conor McGregor, both inside and outside the cage. But this is what happens when you get someone who transcends the sport like this and people want to jump to his defence. Obviously, Chiesa's put in a lawsuit against Conor for damages, for the fact that he had to miss out on his fight because of injuries, because of the injuries that he suffered from with the dolly coming through the window. Cuts, he had to be pulled from his fight with Anthony Pettis. That was later rescheduled. Obviously, Anthony Pettis won that fight. And Conor fanboys are now out on the internet going after Michael Chiesa's wife and his mum and his family, which is, oh, just get a life, honestly. Like, the guy, if you want to attack Michael Chiesa and you've got a thing about people that put in lawsuits against people when things like that happen, then, like, fair enough. And Michael Chiesa has even said this himself: if you want to give him stick for it online, then give him stick for it online. Don't go after the man's wife and his mum. Like, what are you doing? I can't even imagine being that way inclined that I would sit on my phone or laptop or computer and attack someone's wife or mum because they've filed a lawsuit against my favourite fighter, if Conor is your favourite fighter. Just, you need to get out your bedrooms and get outside, honest to God. Like, stop with the sadness. And it is sadness. It just makes me sad. It is sad to hear. It's pathetic. Really is. But there you go. Conor fanboys jump into his defence. Just not in the right way this time. Next news topic. Ali. Khabib's, let's say, outspoken manager, Ali Abdelaziz, saying that Conor's not worth the rematch, that he quit, and that they couldn't pay Khabib enough money to rematch him. Yeah, he quit, he tapped out. No, I don't think Conor should get the rematch. I think you've got two fighters now in the lightweight division who are both on 11 fight winning streaks in the UFC. You've obviously got Khabib, who's the lightweight champion, and you've got Tony Ferguson. Tony Ferguson, who come back after 6 months, 6 months after tearing the ligaments right off the bone in his knee and looked the way he did against Anthony Pettis. And yeah, there was a couple of sketchy moments in the fight. He got dropped, you know, he looked a bit unsteady on the knee early on, but he just looked like a Terminator the whole that fight. He just stalked Anthony Pettis. And the thing that we all know about Tony Ferguson is the guy's a madman. He trains for like 4 to 5 to 6 hours a day up in Big Bear. His cardio is insane, and he comes on more and more during his fights. You'll see it throughout his winning streak in the UFC. The more the fight goes on, the better he gets. It's always a bit sketchy with Tony early on. And you've seen it in like I say, in his other fights as well. I mean, the Lando Venata fight comes to mind straight away. Lando Venata, obviously early on, a lot of success in that fight. And then Tony obviously overwhelmed him and won in the end. Edson Barboza is another one. Barboza had a bit of success early on in the fight, but Tony just wore him down, got a submission in the end. So it was never going to end well for Pettis, I don't think, as competitive as the fight was up to that point. I think you could see by the end of the second round that he was coming on strong. And I think, you know, that's the fight that everyone wants to see now. I think it was a good thing that Pettis was taken out at the end of the second round with a broken hand. He obviously performed very well, so he should get a tough fight for his next fight. He should stay up there in the rankings, and he should get someone who's going to put him back into title consideration. But yeah, Tony and Khabib, pointing my waffle is that should be the next fight. But the reason why this is an intriguing news story for me, Ali Abdelaziz, is vocal again. For me, he talks too much. You see a lot of the other managers, you know, the likes of say Adi Attar, for an example, in the background, doesn't speak on behalf of his fighters hardly, just lets them get on with it and just looks after their best interests. It seems to me like Ali Abdelaziz just wants to be the centre of attention all the time. And saying stuff like, you're going to slap Conor, and you could beat him in a fight, and all of the other things that he's been saying. I know Conor's gone after him, but I think a lot of that is just to sell a fight. And come on, Ali, you're not going to slap Conor. He's a world-class mixed martial artist, yeah. Fantastic striking. Could you imagine being in a cage, them two? It'd be a mauling. I don't think he'd get out the first 30 seconds. It's just strange for Ali to say as well about quitting when on his professional MMA record, he's 1-3 and all three fights he's lost by submission. Just floating that idea out there. Moving on to the last news story that I've got down here on my little notepad. DC and Derek Lewis obviously facing off at UFC 230 for the UFC heavyweight title. Very, very short turnaround for Derek Lewis. But I think he absolutely deserves the title shot after getting, you know, paced up basically for 14 minutes and 50 seconds before landing that Hail Mary right hand on Big Volkov, who I felt very sorry for. Volkov had a very good winning run going on, culminating in his win over Verdum, which is very impressive to say the least. But you know, you've got to get on your bike. You've got to use movement at that stage of the fight when you're winning the fight that handily. You can't be playing with fire with Derek Lewis. He can, you know, the commentators Joe Rogan, Dominic Cruz, John Annette, they said it on the broadcast at the time. Derek Lewis is one big punch away from winning a fight, just changing the whole direction of the fight. And Volkov got caught. He needs to make better decisions at the end of the day. But credit where credit's due, Derek Lewis, you know, getting beat the whole fight, turn it around the last couple of seconds, absolutely deserves his title shot. The news is, though, that DC has come out this week and said that his hand that he injured in the fight where he won the heavyweight title against Stipe Miocic is still not 100%. What this means, to be honest, I don't think it'll change the outcome of that fight too much. I think there's a reason why DC's took the fight in such short notice. It should be a comfortable DC victory. I'm expecting DC, especially if he's got reservations about his hand, to just use his wrestling. Much, much superior wrestling cardio. Just outwork Derek Lewis. Take him down early and often. Get him tired. You might even see a submission in the third, fourth or fifth round. Certainly championship rounds. Derek Lewis is not used to being in those fourth and fifth rounds at all. He doesn't even look fresh in the second round sometimes, although that is a problem that he said he's got with his cardio. He's been very vocal about that himself. So I don't think the hand will affect too much, but it is a concern. And, you know, Derek Lewis, big boy, quite a bit bigger than DC. He's going to come out hard and fast, and if DC's not in a position where he's confident enough to trade with him, because that hand could cause issues, so watch this space on that one. May very well be a factor in the fight. Don't think it will be, but again, we'll see. So, to recap recent events, the most recent events we've had, obviously, were UFC 229, which have gone over the main two fights, or main three fights, really, including Derek Lewis and Alexander Volkov as well. But we did have some Bellator events as well. We had Bellator 207 and Bellator 208, one on Friday and one on Saturday. So, a big weekend of fights for Bellator. We'll start with 207, the main event, Ryan Bader and Matt Mitrione. Ryan Bader, to put it bluntly, complete domination. Complete and utter domination. Two judges' scorecards of 30-25, the other of 30-24. When one judge has give you three 10-8 rounds, you should pretty much know how the fight's gone. Ryan was just superior in every facet, and he's, you know, he's had a complete rebirth ever since he's gone over to Bellator. He's one fight away now from being the kingpin over there, at both light heavyweight and heavyweight. You know, a great move for him to leave the UFC at a time where he was really trying to push for a title shot against then champ DC. Obviously, he saw that things weren't working for him. He wasn't getting the fights that he wanted. Obviously, the big fight he wanted in the title fight. He had the rough result against Rumble Johnson. He's just looked amazing though ever since he's crossed the waters over to the second biggest MMA promotion. He's had some fantastic results over there. Obviously winning the title against Mr. Wonderful Phil Davis. And he just, you know, Matt Mitrione's a good, solid heavyweight. Another fighter who was, you know, in the UFC wasn't really getting the rubber of the green, wasn't really getting the results in the fights he wanted. He obviously had that very tough fight against Travis Brown, where, you know, he should have had a much fairer shape by the referee, admittedly with the eye pokes, etc. But he made a good decision again to come over to Bellator. Has had some great success over there. You know, the knockout of a Fedor being the highlight. But he just wasn't up to Bader's level. Bader's obviously a big light heavyweight. He's settling in very well at heavyweight, and in this heavyweight tournament. And it's back to drawing boards for Matt Mitrione. The wrestling, it's always been an issue for him. I don't think he's got enough time left in his career to address that gap now. So if you're not going to plug the gap with your wrestling, your movement's got to become better. Matt Mitrione's obviously got very good footwork and movement for a heavyweight, just not good enough. He couldn't avoid the shots from Bader. He couldn't stay off his back. He couldn't keep Ryan Bader off him for the whole fight. So that pretty much just tells the story of what went on there. To sum up, again, complete domination, a mauling. Bay looked amazing. Onto the final. In the co-main event of the evening, Sergey Karatonov put a beating on Big Country Roy Nelson, knocked him out right at the end of the first with some nasty punches and a gnarly knee. We've not seen Nelson flatline like that since his UFC days against Mark Hunt. Nelson just worries me. He's took an awful lot of punishment in his career. He can still beat a lot of heavyweights out there, admittedly, but his best days are by far behind him. He's, like I say, he's just taking more and more damage at this point. Whether his chin's gone, you know, I don't know. He had quite a few fights after the Hunt fight where his chin didn't seem to fail him. Karatonov, he's a sniper. Great striking for heavyweight. It could just be that Karatonov was a better man in the night and landed the better shots. But, you know, Nelson is in his 40s now, and he's, for me, I just don't think there's anything else for him to prove in the sport. He's not going to be a heavyweight champion over at Bellator. Yeah, that's been proven now. And it might be time for him to walk away, but I'm not an elite level fighter myself. I can't tell him what to do. This podcast is only here for me to put my opinion across. So, but that's what I saw from that fight. Not to take away from Sergey Karatonov, though. Looked excellent. He should get an interesting fight next, as we start to see the heavyweight title picture in Bellator finally play out and settle with the finale that will now be between Bader and Fedor Emelianenko for the title. The other couple of fights that I want to just quickly go over from Bellator 207, Lorenz Larkin with a big result against Ian Pascu, picked up a decision, I believe 29-28 in all three scorecards. Close-ish fight, but Larkin definitely won. Just got back to his basics. Lorenz Larkin's got a very solid but very intriguing striking. There's certain things that he throws that you don't see from too many other fighters, you know, like that low level kick that he throws to the calf, spinning kick that he throws to the calf, in particular into the thighs, is brilliant. I think a lot more fighters should be, or a lot more strikers in MMA should definitely be using that. But yeah, I digress anyway. He's striking look good. Just back to basics for Lorenz. You could see he's obviously playing on his mind, probably, that he's not had the best run of results since he's gone over to Bellator from the UFC. And it was an important win for him just to set him back up for the bigger fights in the division now. And the other fight I just wanted to quickly over, Baby Slice, Kevin Ferguson Jr., not getting the result that he wanted. He was knocked out in the second round by Corey Browning. I'm not going to write Baby Slice off. He's very young in his career. It just depends how he bounces back from this later setback now. He needs to be built up. He needs favourable matchups. I think they potentially, because of the fact that he's Kimbo Slice's son, like great Kimbo Slice, rest in peace. I think they potentially got a very marketable fighter there. You know, he's not the worst looking guy. He's quite decently well spoken from what I've seen of him in interviews. So, you know, he just needs favourable matchups and he just needs to build him back up. It's a setback, but like I say, not willing to write him off so early in his career. Bellator 208, the next event from Bellator that came on the Saturday night, one night later, saw Bader get his finalist. I've briefly mentioned he'll be facing Fedor Emelianenko. Fedor Emelianenko knocking out Chael Sonnen in their fight in the Bellator 208 main event. It pretty much went the way I thought it would. Chael Sonnen is obviously an excellent wrestler. You know what you're getting with Chael. You've seen it in every fight. He sets out the game plan the same every single time, comes out, tries to get you to the ground with his, elite wrestling. I was going to say very good wrestling, but no, you know, Chael Sonnen, he's an elite MMA wrestler. You've seen him land takedowns in nearly all of his fights over his career, whether that was in Strikeforce, in the UFC, and now in Bellator. You know, he's very good at getting the fight to where the areas where he wants the fight to be, which is on the ground. And as soon as he gets down there, he obviously wants to get decent top control and just land ground and pound. He did quite well against Fedor. Fedor landed some big shots, which I was quite surprised at the way that Chael was able to bounce back from that. We've seen Chael not so much give up, but we've seen him shell up sometimes when he's been hit hard and heavy before in the past. But then again, you've got to look at the strength of competition that he's been up against. He's been in there with the best, Chael Sonnen. John Jones, he's been in there with Anderson Silva twice. He's been in there with killers. He's been there with absolute killers. So you can't read too much into him not being able to, air quotes, take a shot. But Fedor was obviously a heavy hitter. I was very impressed with the way that Chael was able to bounce back from taking a couple of shots early on and make it into a bit of a dogfight in that first round. Fedor, expect him to win the fight. He's now got his final. He's a heavyweight Grand Prix finale against Ryan Bader coming up. We'll analyse that a bit closer to the time, but I think that's an easy win for Bader. I think Fedor at this stage of his career is obviously well past his best. I can't see him causing Bader too many problems unless he catches him with a big shot early. And you know, Bader has been caught by onslaughts and aggressive style fighters, and he's been knocked out before. And also, you've seen Bader be become very impatient and restless and try and force things, and he's ended up getting clipped and knocked out as well. The Lyoto Machida fight in the UFC comes to mind. So there are a couple of factors there. It's not a dead cert, but I'd say I'm 90% certain Bader's going to get that done. Probably a decision winner, unless you can catch Fedor and knock him out. Benson Henderson picked up another win against Sadawad. Sadawad is obviously a fantastic striker, but Benson Henderson was able to nullify that for much of the fight, picked up quite a comfortable decision in the end. So again, I think an important win for Bendo. He's not had the greatest run of results in Bellator, but he seems to be starting to settle now, and very much like Lorenz Larkin, you know, it's a fight he was expected to win. He's won it comfortably, a bit of a confidence boost, and he can now look to maybe some bigger, more important matchups in the lightweight division over there. Chet Congo made the heavyweight picture a little bit more interesting with his first round knockout of Timothy Johnson. The only thing I'll say is Timothy Johnson's obviously not an elite heavyweight, but it was good to see Chet Congo, you know, use his striking for change and get a KO rather than the sort of boring grinding style we've come to expect from him. I very much suspect, in fact, I believe that that's why Congo wasn't put in the Grand Prix, the heavyweight Grand Prix, just because of his fighting style. So it's nice to see him pick up a knockout. He's still a very good heavyweight. He still caused a lot of heavyweights problems over in Bellator. So it'd be interesting to see what they do with Chet Congo next. And Anatoly Tukov defeating Alexander Shlemenko. Big win for Tukov. Shlemenko, he's been around for a long, long time. Very, very experienced. Former champion in Bellator. And Tukov picked up a very dominant, impressive decision win over Shlemenko. And he just looked confident the whole fight. He used his range and distancing very well. To be honest with you, he just stopped Shlemenko getting into the fight at all. Shlemenko just couldn't get any offense going really at any point. He was just able to make Shlemenko look like a very ordinary fighter in there. Very impressive, Anatoly Tukov. Again, it's going to be very intriguing to see what they do with him going forward in that division in Bellator. So that is that. Bellator 207 and 208 recapped. Gone over the big news stories for the week. Like I say, nothing to break down. We've not really got any big events for a while. The next big one is that UFC event the last weekend of October between Smith and No Time, Mr. No Time. That's going to be an interesting one. I think very important fight for the light heavyweight division in the UFC. Obviously not an awful lot of talent in the light heavyweight division. It's looking a lot more positive though with the fact that John Jones and Alexander Gustafsson's been announced for the end of year card, UFC 232, for the light heavyweight title. And obviously DC's still floating in and around light heavyweight, so you could very well see the winner of this fight on October the 27th be a future opponent for one of those guys. But I'll break that down nearer the time, possibly on or probably rather on next week's episode, if I don't make another one for this week. And that, I think, is that. It's been my pleasure. Hope you've enjoyed the podcast. I'm going to float this out onto my social media today, put it out onto the Calls Conclusions Facebook as well. If anyone has any feedback for me, any questions, any comments at all, let me know, please. Obviously, my very first podcast, Breaking My Podcast Virginity today. So any feedback is massively appreciated. Just lets me know how I'm doing, lets me get better, and allows me to put out better content for all of you going forward and make these podcasts a bit more entertaining if they aren't already. So So that is it. I am your host, Chris Collins. Thanks for listening to the Colcast. Speak to you soon.